Hello, everyone. You're listening to CITR at 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. Happy New Year, everyone. Well, almost everyone. If you're Hindu like me and you don't follow the Gregorian calendar's holidays, then your New Year is probably at a different point in the year, depending on which part of India you're from. So I'm joined by Danielle and Lily in the studio. Welcome, guys. Lily, Hi. This is your first time on air. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name's Lily. I am a first-year law and society student at UBC, and I'm very grateful to be here and excited to kind of recap 2018.
Cool. Thank you for joining us, Lily. Mm-hmm. Danielle, do you want to say hi?
Hi.
All right. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Intersection, CITR's biweekly radio show about gender empowerment, feminism, and bringing down the patriarchy, all of which are in a day's work for the small but powerful team here at CITR. Make sure you catch us every other Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. All right. So you're listening to our first show for the new year. Yay. We got a bunch of exciting and carefully curated music for you. And of course, jibber jabber, as usual, from your hosts about political and personal highlights from 2018. So without further ado, let's kick off this show with one of my favorite songs. It's by a singer-songwriter. She's an Indian-American rapper and singer from California. Her name is Raja Kumari. And coincidentally, her family is from the same state in India that I am. So I'm really connected to her. All right, here we go.
Sanskrit, Mohenjo-daro, messing with the girl, never gonna see tomorrow. Raja Kumari, check the bloodline, got some dinners in the 5-9. And the game time, move like the queen of Mumbai. You don't wanna drama, Auntie G, come try. Untouchable with the Brahmin flow. From the motherland, what you weep, you sow. Thinking that you win it, you ain't in it, bruh. Only for a minute, but I kill that buzz. With that Hindu Kush, got that indica. Tell me who the in the gully run in India. Raja.
Gully, gang.
Raja.
Gully, gang.
Girda him, him, tha, taka dinat tha.
मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं तू मेरे जैसा बहुत है मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं क्योंकि तेरा कोई बॉस है मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं तू मेरे जैसा बहुत है मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं क्योंकि तेरा कोई बॉस है रैप खेल का गांधी है फ्लो अंतरराष्ट्रीय बिना पाउडर बेचे गोरों से हमने बॉन्ड्स दिए लव पिए कुछ पिए फ्लो ये रामायण सी है सभी जानवर ये गैंग नहीं जुमान जी है रूट्स तेरे भाई की है रैपर मेरे फैन भी है किक गेम लाइक कौन चाहिए सुनता मुझे स्टॉर्म दिए कौन इधर सिर्फ तेरे बाप है गली वाला पूरा सीन किया मैंने स्पार्क है हां अब क्यों ना हम हर बात को दिल पे ले हां हर दिन इस घुटने को छिलते थे हां अब वही जूते को हम सालों से सिलते थे रिसेस में मोटे के डब्बे को छीनते थे बार बार हम छुट्टे को गिनते थे हां लकड़े के टुकड़े से क्रिकेट हम खेलते थे सादा कोई बोला तो सीता हम भरते थे चलना बेड़ा सर तो दे मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं तू मेरे जैसा बहुत है मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं क्योंकि तेरा कोई बॉस है मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं तू मेरे जैसा बहुत है मैं तेरे जैसा नहीं क्योंकि तेरा कोई बॉस है
Hello again. That was such a great song. All right. So, guys, 2018. What a year it's been, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a roller coaster, I would say. A lot of good things, a lot of bad things. But, yeah, I think for this show, let's just focus on some of the victories that we as humanity have achieved in 2018.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Because I feel like if you focus on the negative stuff, it'll just keep going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2018, as they call it.
Oh, is that what they call it?
They do, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, because it brought us, you know, Call Me By Your Name and Queer Eye, you know, some exciting things.
You know, I am ashamed to admit, I only saw Call Me By Your Name, like, maybe 2 months ago.
Okay. Well, at least you saw it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, as I was watching this is a great movie. Like, mm-hmm. I still regret not mm-hmm. watching it when it first came out.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it was a gay, what did you say it was again?
2018.
Gay teen. Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking mm-hmm. of gay teen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of gay teen. So I think one of the biggest highlights in 2018 for me was the gay marriage legalization in India. And I am from that part of the world. I'm from Pakistan, the neighboring country. And I just think that that is such a huge step forward in the right direction. Also, interesting fact, did you guys know that the law that made it illegal was actually imposed by the British during the colonial period in India?
Classic.
So it's not like an Indian law, it's more like a colonial era law.
And
when you look at that, that's like really kind of interesting that
yeah.
how these things
wow,
kind
that's
of
a really, I did not, that's a very interesting factoid.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like pop culture is so quick to like define these things as like a foreign concept, and like that India is so far behind in that way, but really it's like it was imposed by
yeah.
English colonial forces. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The British left us with a lot of things, and apparently that regressive policy was one of them. But yeah, I'm glad that we're past that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, another example would of that kind of like colonial law would be. I'm sure you guys know about the blasphemy law in Pakistan.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's just this kind of law that that's like if you say anything blasphemous, it would be punishable under the law. So we have
like
not...
Like politically or like religiously? Just anything at all?
It doesn't matter.
All.
Anything okay, at all. Okay. Even if you say it over a squabble with a couple of people and you say something that is perceived to be as blasphemous, you will go to jail or worst case scenario be executed.
Oh
and wow. that law also can be traced back to the colonial rule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the British actually imposed the blasphemy law, mm-hmm. and it's being just carried forward to this point.
Oh so that's God. Still in action right now?
Yes, unfortunately it is. There is a push to eradicate that law, but mm-hmm. it's going to take time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wow.
sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay, you know what? Let's move on to a different song. So this is going to be really hard for me to pronounce. And Lily, this was... your choice.
Yes.
So it's by Jeremy Dutcher and Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do you pronounce it, Lily?
Okay, so I was not able to come to a conclusive answer about how to pronounce it. So I think I might just spell it out. So basically, Jeremy Dutcher is an Indigenous Two-Spirit musician from New Brunswick, currently based out of Toronto. And he actually won the 2018 Polaris Music Prize.
Oh, cool.
So very exciting for the Indigenous community and the queer community. The title of this song is, in English, The Fisher and the Water Spirit. And then in Maliseet, it is P-O-M-O-K-N-A-K-A P-O-K-T-O-I-N-S-K-W-E-S. So... yeah, for people that know how to pronounce that, you'll know what I'm talking about.
All right, mm-hmm. Here we go. Thank you.
so welcome back, guys. That was Jeremy Dutcher. If you're looking for more stuff by him, I would recommend his cover of Ave Maria in the Maliseet language. It's really beautiful. So next up, we have a song called Bioluminescence by Ray Spoon. Ray Spoon is a trans person from Calgary, Alberta, and they write a lot of music about gender nonconformity. They released their album Bodies of Water in 2018, so this is one of the songs.
Joke that it would feel like flying if the worst happened on the drive. Snow was piling on the cliff, the sea was on the other side. The avalanche that almost came to push us off the road that day. I mean, we were really close to turning into floating ghosts.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So one of the biggest things that happened in 2018, I think, would be the women being allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah. And when you think about it, I mean, it's such a little thing, right? Just being allowed to drive. But it had such a huge impact in the country and globally as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of, I think, that there were a couple of women who were arrested at first, and there was really big activism going around. And I'd love to know what you guys think about it, because I myself come, most of my family is Muslim, so I come from that background, but it's always interesting to know what people from other background think about that. So how about you, Lily? What do you think about that, women being allowed to drive in Saudi?
Mm-hmm. I think it's obviously super monumental. Driving represents like a very big part of like just personal autonomy. Like for myself, I learned how to drive like pretty much immediately when I turned 14. And it's been like a huge part of my development as a person and like as a young woman. I think it also is an important part of like safety. Sometimes public transit is not the safest place for women, especially like being downtown and just in certain areas. So I think, yeah, being able to drive is definitely just an asset for yeah, for everyone. So I think it's cool that they're allowed now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think the point where I think what you really hit hard was like personal autonomy, mm-hmm. and just like being allowed to drive and being independent yourself. Because I think one of the biggest problems in Saudi Arabia when it comes to women is the male guardianship concept, right? So
for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely like a really particular interpretation of a Quranic verse by the Saudi people, which kind of like, okay, so women, so they can't even get their passport. They can't even travel abroad mm-hmm. without the approval of a male guardian,
what?
Like their father, their brother, or their son.
Okay, I did not know about the passport bit. I knew about like the guardianship, like they can't walk on the street if there's no male guardian next to them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no passport.
Yeah, they can't even perform Hajj, which is like a big religious thing, without a male guardian. So that's kind of just like so restricting for them, right? You know, when mm-hmm. you think about that, like just being in this box, like you just put in this box. Okay, if you want to get out of this, you need permission from a male guardian. And that's just so many dynamics to it. And I think the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, he is kind of doing something about that, but I think these kind of things take a lot of time. So mm-hmm. I know that Lakshmi, you've lived in Dubai for a while. So I'd love to hear some of your experiences from that place.
Okay. So, you know, earlier when you were talking about kind of like guardianship and kind of like how the women there feel like they're living in a bubble. When I first came to Canada, I think I was 18 and I was in Toronto. I went to U of T. And I remember telling someone, like another first year classmate of mine, that I was from Dubai. And she, I guess her geography wasn't that great, but she thought Dubai was in Saudi Arabia. Mm. And then she looked at me, she's like, oh my God, you must be so happy to be here, right? Like, you're able to walk around, like, it must be so freeing. And I didn't know that she thought I was in Saudi Arabia, so I was like, what? What is she talking about? Mm-hmm. And then she clarified it. But to answer your question, also for listeners who don't know, Dubai is, it's a free country. Like, I can do whatever I want. I can drive, I can run around, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have female drivers in Dubai. Now, I don't know how long ago this became a thing, but for as long as I can remember, every time I got out of the airport, there was like this fleet of really cute pink taxis. And I realized there's like, that's kind of a contentious, why is it pink? But, you know, that's keeping that aside. It's a cute color, okay? Mm-hmm. There's like a fleet of pink taxis and all these women wearing pink. Is that a hijab? It's a hijab, right? Just the headscarf.
Oh, yeah. Just the headscarf. I think that's called a hijab, yeah.
Wearing like pink headscarves, and they're like really tough women that they would help you with the luggage, mm-hmm. and I always overpack, so I was quite impressed with their ability to lift like my mm-hmm. like 1 ton weighing luggage, mm-hmm. but yeah, so to me it was and Dubai is obviously UAE is it's a kingdom, right? It's a Islamic kingdom, so I definitely thought it was interesting that Saudi Arabia seems to be a little bit more I don't know what the word is, what do you think, orthodox, more kind of, yeah, more orthodox than UAE, even though they both are Islamic countries.
I think the word I'd use is just conservative.
Yeah,
I would say. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because, like, most people, like, you just pointed out the person that you talked to when you came to Canada, I think most people just confuse.
Yeah.
Like, they just attribute all of these values to the entire region.
Yeah, but it's just the Middle East in general.
Yeah, but it's so interesting to know that Saudi Arabia and Dubai, even though they're, like, geographically really close to each other, mm-hmm, but they're, mm-hmm. like, completely different when it comes to, like, culture and, like, just societal values over there.
For sure.
And, yeah. But yeah, I think the male guardianship system is like just something that's really deeply ingrained in the society. And I think it's going to take a lot of time to get past that thing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to 2019 and hopefully maybe we'll have another big victory, like women being allowed to drive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. more good things.
Yeah. I feel like we're also so quick to think of Canada as like very, like just so progressive and stuff in comparison to other countries. Like Saudi Arabia, for instance, but I personally have never had a female cab driver in Canada, which is interesting. I don't know about other people's experiences. That's obviously just my own, but definitely not a lineup of pink cabs waiting at the airport here. So, yeah, that's kind of an interesting difference.
Yeah, and I take cabs a lot in Vancouver. I think I've taken more mm-hmm. cabs in a single year in Vancouver than I ever have in all my years in Canada. Mm-hmm. And this is some shameless self-promotion, but I also did an article for the Globe and Mail about female cab drivers. Like, mm-hmm. you actually have a lot of movements in this Canada now for kind of female-only. Well, not movement. There's a lot of demand for female-only cab drivers. Like, you have Driver mm-hmm. on Vancouver Island. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but it's like a female-only cab company.
Oh wow.
So it's pretty great. A lot to look forward to for sure.
Yeah. I've heard in response to some like Uber sexual assault scandals, that there is kind of like a suggestion of being able to request female drivers through Uber. Yeah, so I don't know where that's going to go, but
The option is definitely very important. Yes. All right, guys, stay tuned to Intersections. We will be right back after this super duper short break.
So you're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts around downtown at
Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, Sakura's Classical Records, the Cinematheque, Vinyl Records, and the Fall Tattooing.
BC government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PrEP measures. CITR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
Again, welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Intersections at CITR 101.9 FM. So that was Farm in the Middle of Nowhere by Buffy St. Marie. That was Marie. No, Marie. And of course, she doesn't need an introduction. She's a very popular Canadian singer, songwriter, and most of her work is focused on Indigenous issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she is pretty well known. She actually won an Oscar in 1983 for her song Up Where We Belong, and also a Golden Globe that same year for the same song. It was for the movie An Officer and a Gentleman. So go Buffy. I actually saw her at the Edmonton Folk Music Festival.
So jealous.
I think it was last year, and she's just a powerhouse, a really good performer. Yeah.
Wow. Like, is her presence, like, in person, like, when you see her, is it the same as when you see her, like, actually performing, I don't know, in videos and stuff? Because she seems like she would have such a powerful presence.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely more powerful. She's tiny, but just, like, so, such a powerhouse. Yeah.
Nice. All right, so we have another amazing song coming up for you. This is Youth by Daughter. Here we go.
Shadows settle on the place that you left. Our minds are troubled by the emptiness. Destroy the middle, it's a waste of time. From the perfect start to the finish line. And if you're still breathing, you're the lucky ones. 'Cause most of us are heaving through corrupted lungs, setting fire to our insides for fun, collecting names of the lovers that went wrong, the lovers that went wrong. Most of our feelings, they are dead and they are gone. We're setting fire to our insides for fun, collecting pictures from a flood that wrecked our home. It was a flood that wrecked this home. Most of us are bitter over someone, setting fire to our insides for fun, to distract our hearts from ever missing love. But I'm forever missing you. You caused it.
Welcome back. You're listening to CITR at 101.9 FM. You're currently tuned into Intersections, CITR's bi-weekly radio show about gender empowerment. So the song that you guys just heard, that was Youth by Daughter. And Daughter is an indie folk band from England, fronted by North London native Elena Tonra. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name right. So Kanye West.
Where to start?
The guy seems like he's always making the news. Mm-hmm. And he certainly made the news in 2018. But not because he stole somebody's spotlight or tried to steal someone's award or whatever weird things he's been up to the past several years. Mm-hmm. But for a reason completely different. It became quite a headline when he admitted that he was bipolar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that made the news. And he, for some interesting reason, he chose Jimmy Kimmel's show to talk about that. Which I thought was an interesting way to kind of admit that you have this, you know, admittedly, I guess, debilitating mental illness. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about that?
What did I think about? I don't know. I think the Jimmy Kimmel show is the kind of show where celebrities kind of just feel more open and relaxed when it comes to their personal issues. Mm-hmm. I guess it's, I don't know, maybe it's Jimmy Kimmel, maybe it's the show's vibes. I'm not sure why, as to the motivations of Kanye for disclosing that particular piece of information in that show. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear from Lily about this. I mean, mm-hmm. if she has some thoughts.
Yeah, I think, aside from being on the show, talking about that, he's also been very vocal on Twitter, as he always is. And I think it's kind of an interesting thing, not just unique to 2018, but the past couple years in general, that Twitter has become kind of a platform for all sorts of issues, but especially now for mental health and from a lens of such a prominent male figure, I guess you could say, in society is interesting because it's kind of like making moves away from this toxic masculinity concept that we have, especially about male artists and male celebrities like Kanye, who are deemed as very hyper-masculine in a way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think him being vulnerable, especially in a setting like Twitter, mm-hmm. And publicly on the show, is definitely a positive step forward in making other people feel comfortable coming forward about mental illness. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as to his actual tweets about it, I'm not really sure, if he is the best person to promote mental health and that kind mm-hmm. of thing, mm-hmm. but I guess it's just about getting it out there. So I don't know.
I am kind of torn up about that because in one way I definitely think that when you have a platform as big as, like, if you're a singer or an actor and you have such a huge platform, I think it is important that you use that platform for good, mm-hmm. And in this case mental health. But mm-hmm. I think with Kanye West, just his, I guess, the occupational hazards of his profession, his history, I do feel like he's become something of a character, Kanye West, not really like a human being. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people people did kind of misuse his mental condition and his platform and kind of make it something that wasn't really as serious as it should have been. Like, I don't know if you guys mm-hmm. got a chance to see his whole thing with, like, in the White House with Trump, like of the stuff that he said.
Yeah. Yeah, that was big, actually, in 2018. That was actually kind of shocking to a lot of people, even fans of Kanye himself. There was this big uproar on Twitter as to why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, why was he in the White House? It just didn't make any sense to me.
I mean, I think it was no secret that he was a Trump supporter. I mm-hmm. mean, there were images mm-hmm. taken of him wearing the MAGA hat. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think just going to the White House and personally, I remember he was showing the president something on the phone, and it just seemed so bizarre to me as to why he's doing this. I don't know. At first I thought it was maybe something real, it was maybe a PR stunt or mm-hmm, something mm-hmm. like that, but
a failed PR stunt, in my
probably,
humble opinion.
Yes. Yeah, but I don't know. I think the whole situation was just absolutely bizarre to me because I still can't get my head around as to why he did what he did.
And if you look at Twitter, like the response to you know, the whole situation, him being in the White House, they made him a cartoon. Like, it became something really funny. Like, oh my God, Kanye he's just off his rocket. That was counter to the whole point of, as a celebrity coming out and talking about mental health, is so you create awareness and you reduce the stigma. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it it kind of went in the opposite direction, I feel, mm-hmm. with him yeah. kind of coming out like that.
Yeah, making him a caricature. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's totally, like, we don't really know, like, how do you navigate the space as a celebrity of, like, being in a manic phase mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. like, with a mental...
Exactly.
Yeah. Disorder, I guess, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think to come back to the point where he did disclose... His mental health problem, I think that's a really interesting thing. And I think it's big. It's a big step mm-hmm. because I think Lily already mentioned it, that how these people are perceived to be really hyper-masculine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just to see a person like that mm-hmm. come forward mm-hmm. and declare a personal thing with the entire world, I think that's a big step. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that thing just might have just started something for a lot of other people to come forward with their mental issues, because I do know... coming from my own country, Pakistan, there's a lot of stigma attached to mental health, and particularly when it comes to men. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you generally just don't talk about problems like this. You don't talk about, like, oh, I'm feeling down, oh, I'm feeling upset. Mm-hmm. It's just frowned.
Feeling anxious, whatever.
Yeah, it's just kind of like frowned upon. Mm-hmm. So men are just expected to be these strong pillars of just strength, mm-hmm. which is completely untrue. I mean, we're all humans at the end of the day, and we all have problems. Mm-hmm. So I think this just kind of people coming forward with their mental health, people as prominent as Kanye West, who are perceived to be really hyper-masculine, I think that just shows a more sensitive side to those people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big step. And I think a lot of people can either learn from them or just take that as an inspiration to accept that it is okay mm-hmm. to be sensitive and be vulnerable. And I'm hoping that in 2019 we mm-hmm. see more of that, and men just coming forward and embracing their problems and their sensitive side. I think that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Male vulnerability 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be my hashtag for 2019. Yeah. Yeah. Hashtag male vulnerability. Embrace it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it would definitely be great to take a step away from that kind of toxic masculinity and that hyper-masculinization for sure. But I'm curious. I mean, at least in like, I could really, like, resonate with what you said about, you know, in Pakistan, it's like you have to kind of be these pillars of strength if you're men. Would you say that that's applicable to everyone, or do you think it's a little worse for men? Because I feel like in Asia, I feel like talking about your feelings, even in India, is not really, it's something that's only catching on recently after, you know, when mental health awareness is, it's obviously a bigger thing in the West, I think. And after catching on in India, only now I see people openly talking about mental health, but it was always an issue for both men and women. And do you feel like, Danielle, it's actually slightly more of an issue for men specifically?
I mean, I do agree with the fact that it applies to both men and women. Mm-hmm. I feel like the culture as a whole, but I do feel like women, when they're talking mm-hmm. about their emotions, mm-hmm. I feel like it's considered more accepted.
Right.
But when I feel like that's just kind of like just more difficult for men to just talk about how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I would say that when it comes to particularly talking about him, I mean, women have their own huge problems in those parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't want to be that person who says that, oh, men have it worse, because no, they do not. Women have a lot more problem. And I do acknowledge that. But to answer your question, when it comes to when it's just specifically talking about your emotions, I feel like it's just harder for men to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that men have to overcome to mm-hmm. just, I guess, be better people, because mm-hmm. I don't know. I just personally feel like talking about your emotions doesn't make you weak. It just makes you more human. That's just how I feel about it. And I feel like a lot of more people should feel that way.
That's great. That's great. Lou, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you said it all.
All right, guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this super duper short break.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at CITR. So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
CITR and Mint Records have released their biannual collab, Pop Alliance Volume 5. This glamorous record features staple Vancouver artists, Devours, Swim Team, Lord Fuckerman, Chris Horrific, and so many more. Get your copy for only $15 on iTunes or at the Mint Records store now.
Problem, officer?
Yes, you've gotten a noise complaint.
Fight the power and listen to the brand new podcast from CITR 101.9 FM, Noise Complaint. Episodes will be released every Friday starting January 18th with performances and interviews from some of your favorite local bands. Kamikaze Nurse, Psy, Princess Apparently, Fake Fruit, and so many more. Subscribe to Noise Complaint on iTunes or download from CITR.ca starting January 18th.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Intersections at CITR at 101.9 FM. So we got an amazing song for you up next. This is Hey Now by London Grammar. Stay tuned.
Letters burning by my bed for you. Hey now, I can feel my instincts here for you. Hey now, by my bed for you. Hey now, hey now.
So that was Hey Now by London Grammar. Up next is Mad as Hell by US Girls. What can you tell us about US Girls, Lily?
Okay, so I discovered US Girls in 2018. She goes by the name of Megan Remy. She's based in Toronto, but has described herself as an American expatriate. So she basically left America because she didn't like it and thought Canada would be better. She writes a lot of kind of radical feminist lyrics, and she wants to sneak radical feminism into public spaces through pop music.
I like that. Sneak radical feminism.
Yeah, so Mad as Hell is about Barack Obama and U.S. politics. You can kind of tell, and it just uses that as kind of a metaphor, I guess, for like violence experienced by women. So yeah,
very cool. All right, so this is Mad as Hell by US Girls. So that was Mad as Hell by US Girls. Up next is Believe in You by my favorite, Raja Kumari. Here we go.
Hope is the magic that you feel. When you open up your soul, your dreams are now real. I had some people do the most to show their bills and dive away. They never seen original, they grew up with the fake. Baby, you a trendsetter, I think I'll follow you. I just understand better, cause when I was you, I thought all my friends that I know what to do.
greatest of all time. We're like a ship, we stay afloat. Even when rainstorms arise, feels like we're fighting for the world. Trying to take it one day at a time. While people worry about their clothes, I'm trying to make sure I feed mine and mine's. You got love. Baby, you a trendsetter, they gon' follow you. I just understand better, cause when I was you, I told all my friends that I know what to do. All I know is when they said, then what's the move? We are the party of life that will inspire an entire lifeline. You are the key to the clouds that block the moon. As long as you believe it. Loka samasta sukino bhavantu, loka samasta sukino bhavantu, loka samasta sukino bhavantu, loka samasta sukino bhavantu.
That was my favorite ever song by Raja Kumari, Believe in You. For those of you, that last bit where she's talking in the language that is clearly not English, what she is speaking is Sanskrit. And what she said, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. And what that really essentially translates to is, may all the beings of the world always be happy and peaceful. How great is that, you guys?
That's amazing.
A great 2019 sentiment.
Do you guys have any resolutions for 2019?
Personal resolutions?
I mean, personal, like, what do you want to see? What do you want to see in 2019? Maybe both personally and in the world.
Okay. In the world. That's a big question.
These are easy stuff, guys. Yeah. These are easy questions. Have you not thought about it?
Yeah, we're asking like really deep questions toward the end here, guys. So I hope you're ready for this because this might get really deep. So 2019, I don't know. I think I just want less racism and more diversity in the world, just to see more people of color in prominent positions in parliament, in higher up positions in news organizations and corporate stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's something that I would really love to see in 2019. What about you, Lily? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big one. I think 2019, I just want it to be about representation in all areas, especially art. I'm really excited to see what's coming out of this new year, as 2018 was really good for, you know, celebrating queer excellence, indigenous excellence, you know, people of color, just making amazing art as per usual. This past couple of years has been referred to by a couple people, especially King Princess, who's one of my favorite queer artists. Definitely listen to her stuff. As the queer pop renaissance. So I think that's definitely a mood for 2019. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with everything you both just said. For sure.
But you have to add something. Come on. Gotta add something.
I don't know. I don't know. Hopes and, I mean, in the world, oh God, this is how I felt when people, you know, when we were younger, people ask you, oh, if like a genie could grant your wish, what would be your three wishes? Like no more poverty in the world. Just peace and kindness everywhere. That's what I would want in the world. Mm-hmm. And maybe if organic food could be a little bit more cheaper, that would be great too. Just a little practical side note there.
Affordable housing in Vancouver.
Oh yeah.
A pipe dream.
Yeah. That's a dream, yeah.
that sounds like the start of a great novel. a pipe dream. All right. Okay. Well, that brings us, unfortunately, to the end of today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. You're listening to Intersections at CITR 101.9 FM. Have a great evening. And guys, be kind to one another. This is Lakshmi.
Lily,
and Danielle.
Signing out for now. Bye.